Welcome aboard, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 22nd of December. It's Monday. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check out the website of American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net. Also, I would urge you to check out the website of the Barnes Review at BarnesReview.com. Now, unless I'm mistaken, at American Free Press right now, and indeed you will find as the lead story at American Free Press, is a piece by yours truly entitled Trafficant, Can He Unify Third Parties? I wouldn't have selected that particular title, folks, but that is the title they gave it. The story is by me. It's a story about Jim Trafficant's forthcoming appearance here in Washington on February 13th at a meeting sponsored by American Free Press, and I hope you will be able to attend. It's going to basically be an all-day affair. Registration begins at noon at roughly 2 p.m., some grand wizard, I use that term loosely, folks, some grand wizard will then proceed to introduce Jim Trafficant. Jim will talk for a while. Of course, we'll take questions and answers. And then later in the evening, there will be a reception, a little bit of food and a cash bar, as I understand it. I think it'll be a good opportunity for a lot of people to come to Washington from around the country and meet like-minded patriots and, of course, meet Jim Trafficant. Looks as though Jim may be running for Congress in 2010. But in the meantime, he has a lot of ideas and a lot of opinions that he wants to share, and I think American Free Press fully wants to endorse his efforts in every way possible. And I don't see anybody else out there who quite speaks out like Jim Trafficant on the issues. If you can name someone, I'd like to hear their names, but folks, I just don't think there is anybody else out there. In any case, it'd be a great opportunity to come to Washington. If you have an organization you'd like to display, set up a display table, they're going to make those available for a donation to American Free Press. You'll be able to set up your table and display your goods, display your books, display your videos, display your literature, get the word out. Want to make this as big as possible. Everybody's invited, folks. But don't worry, I'm going to be there with a baseball bat. If anybody gets out of line, I'm going to hand the baseball bat to somebody who can bring somebody back in the line. All right, well, get your pen and paper handy, folks, because I am going to give you some information about two very, very interesting books that you need to read if you wish to be fully versed in the source of the troubles that plagues mankind today, not just the United States, but mankind itself. I'm going to be discussing a couple books here. One of these books is going to piss off a lot of people, folks. Actually, both of them will in some respects. One of these books, though, is devoted to a subject that a lot of people have talked about over the years, but you know what? This book makes it pretty clear that what a lot of people have said about this particular subject just ain't true. So we are going to defy political correctness in the revisionist movement. We're going to defy political correctness among the anti-Zionists and the critics of Israel and the critics of the Holocaust industry, who certainly deserve to be criticized. We're going to talk a little bit about the famous Diary of Anne Frank. And we're not going to say what you might think we're going to say. We're probably going to say just the opposite of what you probably think about the Diary of Anne Frank. So I guarantee you this brief discussion of this topic will certainly get some of you fired up. All right, well, we are going to the break, folks. Stay tuned for more when we come back.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product. Not available in Iowa.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. As you know, from the beginning, when I started broadcasting here, I guaranteed that one of the things I would do on a regular basis, and it is something I have done on a regular basis, is try to put to an end rumors and misinformation that some of my very dearest friends and some of the finest people I know in the world, readers of American Free Press, listeners to RBN, all sorts of other good people, try to put to an end some of this disinformation that gets circulated. Now, causes problems, because the minute you try to put your foot down on the disinformation, people say, oh, well, Piper's covering up for the Jews, or Piper's covering up for the Trilateral Commission, or this group or that group, the Jesuits, what have you. No, it's just that I am someone, personally, who is a stickler for detail and a stickler for accuracy. And I know, in one particular case that I'm going to be talking about here tonight, I have helped perpetrate some misinformation. Not disinformation, misinformation. Disinformation, as you should be able to tell from the nature of the word, implies that somebody put out information that was incorrect and did it deliberately. Misinformation is just what it sounds like, misinformation. Well, some of the biggest misinformation that's been out there circulating for years has to do with the famous Diary of Anne Frank. And because of the misinformation that's floating around out there, a lot of good people get themselves in the soup, because then the big-time propagandists of what has been called the Holocaust industry can put down good folks who are concerned with getting out the truth about what happened and what did not happen during the Holocaust. Well, Anne Frank and her famous diary, and I'll even put that in quotes, Anne Frank and her famous diary are almost a cornerstone of the Holocaust industry. I mean, how many times have we seen the pictures of that nice little girl who was murdered by the Nazis, so they say? Well, of course, Anne Frank was not murdered by the Nazis. She was not gassed by the Nazis. No, she died of typhus. She died of typhus probably because the Nazis were unable to gas the bugs that caused the typhus that killed Anne Frank. And you know, Anne Frank did not die at Auschwitz. She was in Auschwitz, ladies and gentlemen, that famous factory of death, as it's been called. But she was later transferred then to Bergen-Belsen, where she died in Germany. Now, the ramifications of that are immense, folks, because the Holocaust industry tells us that Hitler and the Nazis were out to kill 6 million, 12 million, 15, God knows, 100 million Jews. That was the Nazi agenda. I've heard patriots say that. Heard some of the biggest patriot broadcasters in America say it. But Anne Frank was not gassed. She did not die at Auschwitz. She was in Auschwitz, or Auschwitz, as they call it. She died at Bergen-Belsen. That's the bottom line truth about Anne Frank. What a lot of people don't know, though, are some of the details about the diary of Anne Frank. And no, folks, I'm not here to tell you that the diary of Anne Frank is a fraud, because you know what? There's a new book entitled Anne Frank, The Book, The Life, The Afterlife. The author is Francine Prose. Francine spells her name F-R-A-N-C-I-N-E. Her last name is P-R-O-S-E. And her new book has been published by the distinguished HarperCollins, which, of course, is owned by that hardline Zionist fanatic Rupert Murdoch, unless I'm mistaken. Eric Hushmidt's sister's father-in-law. Now, why I'm here to talk about this Diary of Anne Frank book, or this book about Anne Frank, is that this author demonstrates pretty conclusively what I came to realize a long time ago. Now, I know a lot of you out there, I've had people call this show and say, hey, the Diary of Anne Frank was written in ballpoint pen, which wasn't invented until after World War II. I want to tell you something, folks. I've said that myself time and time again over the years to people in discussing the Diary of Anne Frank. But guess what, folks? There's a lot more to the story than that. Actually, the additions that were made to the Diary of Anne Frank, and I even use that term diary loosely here, those additions made in ballpoint pen, yes, even Anne Frank's father and defenders of the Anne Frank diary admit that there were things written in that diary, but they were primarily page numbers. New page numbers were added by Anne Frank's father. Then people turn around and say, oh, well, there was a lawsuit between Anne Frank and Meyer Levin, or maybe he pronounced it Levin, over who wrote the book. Well, no, actually, the lawsuit was between Anne Frank's father and Mr. Levin over Mr. Levin's adaptation of what we call the diary for a stage play. And, of course, obviously, the stage play is not the diary and vice versa. But again, you know what? A lot of good people have put that information out there. Now, a lot of people are now saying, hey, well, wait a minute. Dr. Robert Farison wrote a book refuting the Diary of Anne Frank. Well, you know, folks, I'll tell you what. Here again, over the years, I found myself saying, well, you know, Dr. Robert Farison wrote a book refuting the validity of the Diary of Anne Frank. But you know what, folks? Back when I was editing and putting together the great Holocaust supplement for the Barnes Review, I finally, for the first time, actually picked up Dr. Farison's book. And when I started reading it, I had to admit to myself that, well, wait a minute, what I thought was this great refutation of the Diary of Anne Frank and its validity, folks, it isn't exactly that. And, you know, I haven't looked at Robert Farison's book in a long, long time, and I know he's an icon among people who are critics of the Holocaust industry, but I'm here to tell you, if you actually read the book, you will find that although there's a lot of verbiage in that book, a lot of the things that purport to refute the Diary of Anne Frank's validity don't really do it at all. In fact, it really stretches it. The one thing that I recall, and it may not have even been in Dr. Farison's book, but it may have been in another piece refuting the Diary of Anne Frank, was the point that was made by the writer, whoever it was, that Anne Frank's diary, the validity of it was refuted because of the fact that in her diary, Anne Frank mentioned that vacuum cleaners were being run in the hidden area where she and her family were hiding from the Nazis. Well, the point of the critic of the diary was that, well, if the Frank family were really hiding from the Nazis, they wouldn't have run vacuum cleaners. Well, you know, folks, in the bigger picture, if you step back and look at it, that really is hardly a refutation of the diary. But Francine Prose, and I suspect she's Jewish, doesn't really matter. She's the author of 15 books of fiction, the former president of the famous Penn American Center. That's that literary society, Penn. Anne Frank's diary, Francine Prose readily admits, is actually something that Anne Frank did indeed begin putting together as a little journal, but then Anne Frank herself repeatedly rewrote portions of the diary, what we now call the diary. Anne Frank repeatedly rewrote things. She changed names of people in there. She was looking, that is, Anne Frank was looking at this publication. She was an aspiring writer, folks. A lot of people don't know that. Anne Frank was an aspiring writer. She was not just some little girl who was keeping a diary for fun, like a lot of little girls and little boys and old ladies and old men and people of all ages do. Anne Frank was keeping this diary because she foresaw the day when, following her release from that hidden annex after the defeat of the evil Hitler and the Nazis, that one day perhaps her diary could be published, that it would be published as a literary work reflecting the events of World War II from the perspective of one girl and her family who were in hiding from the Nazis. Consequently, when her journals, which were many journals written over a period of several years, during which time her handwriting did change, and a lot of people say, oh, no, no one's handwriting changes. That's not true. I found some of my own handwriting of back 20 years ago completely different from my handwriting now. People say, well, that's proof that somebody else wrote the diary. No, it isn't proof at all. And we'll just have to accept the word of the forensic figures who claim that they've proven it is her handwriting. But nonetheless, the fact is, folks, she was keeping this what we now call the diary in many different journals. She rewrote portions of it. And later, after the diary, quote unquote, was recovered and given to her father, and her father saw a possible money-making deal out of it, he, in fact, did edit portions of the diary. He took out negative things that Anne had written about her mother, his wife. He took out some negative things about Anne's reflections on sexuality, including she apparently expressed possible early lesbian tendencies that they didn't feel were appropriate to have written in the book. At least they were of a sexual nature, and her father, consequently, as any father might want, wanted to take those things out of there. There were sections of it rearranged. I mean, this is all discussed in detail in this book, folks. It's all discussed in detail in the book. So basically what I'm here to tell you is I believe that what we call the Diary of Anne Frank can in fact be rightly accepted as a genuine artifact, a published, revised, amended artifact of World War II. And it's interesting to note, too, and this appeared in that special All Holocaust issue of the Barnes Review. It's interesting to note that even many Jewish folks have complained about the Diary of Anne Frank because they didn't think Anne wrote things Jewish enough. So, folks, I'm here to tell you, I think we can forget about the Diary of Anne Frank when discussing the Holocaust. Let's just remind people she wasn't gassed. She died of typhus. She died of typhus at Bergen-Belsen after leaving Auschwitz, the famed factory of death. If you have any comments on this, I'd like to hear about it. The book is Anne Frank. The book, The Life, The Afterlife, by Francine Prose.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. I am sure I upset many, many, many of our listeners with my discussion of Anne Frank and her famous quote-unquote diary. There's people out there I know now who are saying Piper has definitely sold out. Here's the proof. No, no, Piper just wants to address the facts so that we don't have a bunch of loud-mouthed, pot and pan clamoring Jewish troublemakers able to dismiss us and call us Holocaust deniers and call us Hitler apologists and all those things for the wrong reasons. Well, now, today's Washington Times carried an Associated Press report that I have seen now circulating, variations of it circulating on the internet. The headline is Israel admits taking organs without permission. Israel has admitted that in the 1990s, its forensic pathologists harvested organs from dead bodies, including Palestinians, without the permission of families. Interview with former head of Israel's Abu Kabir Forensic Institute. An interview with him was conducted by an American academic who released it because of a huge controversy last summer over an allegation by a Swedish newspaper that Israel was killing Palestinians in order to harvest their organs. Israel hotly denied the charge. You're all familiar with the story. Mark Glenn talked about it very elegantly and eloquently, as only he can do, on this very program one night when he was sitting in for me. we've mentioned it here as well, Israel's Channel 2 says that forensic specialists harvested skin, corneas, heart valves, and bones from the bodies of Israeli soldiers, Israeli citizens, Palestinians, and foreign workers, often without permission from relatives. Well, they go on to say that this ended a long, long time ago, but folks, the fact is, they've been forced to admit that they have indeed been harvesting organs. Now, do you remember when these reports came out? Oh, these are the work of lying anti-Semites. The Nazis are putting this out. The Nazis are trying to discredit the Jewish people, God's chosen people, the people who are the apple of God's eyes. Well, you know, I clipped this article out. I'm going to be sending it to a friend of mine who needs to know these facts. And I have scribbled there in my own inimitable handwriting, which, as I say, has changed over these years. I say, these goddamn Jewish ghouls, we need to gas Israel. Yes, folks, again and again and again, all this information keeps coming out. That is a really ghoulish state that practices some very ghoulish things. You ever look at some of these poor Palestinian kids being paraded around at gunpoint, handcuffed and blindfolded by these ghouls? These ghouls who claim to be God's chosen people, the apple of God's eye. Well, if you consider me an anti-Semite for talking about this and talking about it in no-nonsense terms and calling them ghouls and calling upon God to damn them, well, folks, if you want to call me an anti-Semite, good. I'm glad people can point to me and say, oh, well, look at that Mike Piper. Look at the language he uses. He really goes overboard. Well, yes, I do go overboard, folks, because this is an outrage. If I found out that a dead member of my family had our organs harvested without the family's permission, I don't know what I'd do, folks. If that happened here on American soil, I can imagine what I would think about doing. I can imagine I would say to myself, well, you know, I might just go and do such and such to that forensic surgeon who did that. You know, baseball bats, guns, pitchforks come to mind, fire bombs, you know, these kind of things. And then I might say to myself, well, I'm not really a violent person, but I might go pay somebody $5,000 to blow up that person's house. I might think about something like that, as we all would. And anybody who denies that these kind of things wouldn't go through their heads is either a liar or inhuman, because we all do get angry when we hear about things like this. But, you know, on the bigger picture, folks, this is the kind of crap the Israelis have been doing for years in one form or another. If the Gaza Zoo doesn't get you mad, this might get you mad. If these roadblocks, you know, I stood in people's CVS drugstore the other day for about 10 minutes, and, you know, I was thinking, you know, here I am crying and moaning to myself about having to stand in line for a few minutes at CVS drugstore. What about these Palestinians of all ages who stand in line and stand in vehicle lines for hours and hours and hours upon end just to travel around the corner to visit their elderly father who lives on the other side of the street? But they put up the walls there in the occupied areas of Palestine. And, you know, I kick myself for getting upset at being inconvenienced for a few minutes when there's a whole civilization of people who are being more than inconvenienced. They've been kicked out of their native land, and they're living all around the world if they're not living in concentration camps throughout the Middle East. So, yeah, I'm ashamed of myself to be upset about being inconvenienced for standing in line at CVS. And I'm not ashamed to say that I think the Israelis are ghouls, because they have a record that demonstrates it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA, and in some instances your 401k plan, into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Attention, ladies! Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're going to stir up some more controversy here. If you have some comments about anything we've already talked about, you're welcome to call in here. Or if you have some comments about something we haven't talked about, we'll probably get around to the phone sooner than later here. The number is 800-313-9443. Pen and paper handy, folks. You must get a copy of this book. I picked it up in... oh, hell, what was it, Borders Books? No, I guess it was Barnes & Noble. So it's on the shelves of the mainstream bookstores. It may not be for a long time, but it's entitled The Invention of the Jewish People. The author is Shlomo Sand. Shlomo is spelled S-H-L-O-M-O. The last name is just like it sounds, Sand. And... no, folks, he's not a Nazi. He studied history at the University of Tel Aviv. He currently teaches contemporary history at the University of Tel Aviv. And that's not Tel Aviv, Texas. That's Tel Aviv. Well, they call it Israel. I call it Palestine. But anyway, for convention's sake, we'll say he's a professor at Tel Aviv University in Israel. Let me read to you what it says from the book here, and I have not read the book yet. I've skimmed through it, and it's fascinating. A historical tour de force that demolishes the myths and taboos that have surrounded Jewish and Israeli history. This book offers a new account of both that demands to be read and reckoned with. Was there really a forced exile in the first century at the hands of the Romans? Should we regard the Jewish people throughout two millennia as both a distinct ethnic group and a putative fugitive nation returned at last to its biblical homeland. Shlomo Sand argues that most Jews actually descend from converts whose native lands were scattered far across the Middle East and Eastern Europe. Beneath the biblical backfill of the 19th century historians and the 20th century intellectuals who replaced rabbis as the architects of Jewish identity, this book uncovers a new narrative of Israel's formation. Now, bear in mind, this book was actually a bestseller in Israel. So the Jewish people of Israel, those people in Israel, the natives, the people in Israel who are known as Jews, people who consider themselves Jews, people who follow that religion which the great Thomas Jefferson described as being depraved, these people are coming to recognize that what they have been taught throughout their history and what has been taught by Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and Tim LaHaye and all sorts of others who call themselves Christian ministers, all these things that have been taught about history just ain't true. Tony Jute, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name right. His name is spelled J-U-D-T. Might be pronounced Jut. I don't know. Anyway, he is a very eminent Jewish writer, and as you know, on this program, we always give credit where credit is due. We don't just condemn the Jewish people wholesale. We praise those Jews who do speak out against the crime of the majority. Tony Jute has written, Shlomo Sand has written a remarkable book. In cool scholarly prose, he has quite simply normalized Jewish history. In place of the implausible myth of a unique nation with a special destiny, expelled, isolated, wandering, and finally restored to its rightful home, he's reconstructed the history of the Jews and convincingly reintegrated that history into the general story of humankind. Now note these words, folks. He says, the self-serving and mostly imaginary Jewish past that has done so much to provoke conflict in the present is revealed, like the past of so many other nations, to be largely an invention. Here's what Tom Segev, a very prominent Israeli journalist and writer, has said about the book. Israel's Declaration of Independence states that the Jewish people arose in the land of Israel and was excised from its homeland. Every Israeli school child is taught that this happened during the period of the Roman rule. The nation remained loyal to its land, to which it began to return after two millennia of exile. Wrong, says the historian Shlomo Sand, in one of the most fascinating and challenging books published here in a long time. There never was a Jewish people, only a Jewish religion, and the exile also never happened. Hence, there was no return. This is a powerful book, ladies and gentlemen. It's very, very well written. Those of you who like to talk about the Khazars will find quite a bit of discussion in here about the Khazars, but you're going to find so much, much more. And if you seriously have an intent of understanding just what the hell is going on in the Middle East today and what has been going on there, you need to get this book. I'm really looking forward to sitting down and reading it word for word, 332 pages. It's very, very well written. Apparently, it must be a pretty good translation. And as I say, it's going to open up your eyes to a lot of things. And, of course, it's the kind of book, it's published by Verso Books, which has a branch in Brooklyn and one in London. Their website is versobooks.com. I'm going to be encouraging American Free Press and or the Barnes Review to be carrying this book. It is a book that needs to be written. It puts to myth, at long last, so many of these myths that even many good Christians and patriots today have put out there. It's again, you know, this is one of these things. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We've talked about two things that are frauds here tonight. This idea of the state of Israel having this grand and glorious history that goes back, and then also this idea that Anne Frank's diary was not for real. In fact, Anne Frank's diary, as we've seen, essentially is for real. But we have found out here tonight that the history of the Jewish people, at least as it's been taught, in our Sunday schools, in our mass media in America, it just isn't true. Like so many things we're taught, like the idea that, oh, I could go on. We could go on with a list of all these things that we've been taught over the years, even things that are still taught to us today by our patriot leaders, including some of the biggest patriot names in broadcasting today. So that's what we're here to do, folks. We're here to try to cut through all the nonsense, cut through the crap, shovel it away, and try to get down to some basics. All right, well, I tell you what, we have a couple callers here, including Mark from Kentucky, who's been waiting patiently. I'm going to go ahead and bring Mark up. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing it. I'm getting through the snow here. We got about 20 inches of snow over the weekend, so it's a real mess.
Yeah, I heard. I was out there driving here this weekend. Yeah, I heard it was out here driving this weekend. It was pretty bad. It wasn't as bad over here in around Cincinnati and Kentucky as it was around there, though. But,
good for you.
You know, this is, might be getting off the subject a little bit. But,
no, that's all right. We're not here limited to any subject, yeah.
But I had an interesting situation happen this weekend. There's a gentleman I pick up all the time, and he's a tattoo artist. And he was I was driving him and his friends to a night spot around here, around the greater Cincinnati, Kentucky area. And they were just talking amongst themselves, and I wasn't really paying attention to it until one of the girls, or himself, had said, yeah, he had some guy wanted to have a Star of David tattooed on him. and I didn't know what he was talking, and he didn't know what the guy was talking about initially either. He was just kind of like, he thought it was like a 5-4 star like you would see on the American flag. And as he began to, like, explain what kind of star he wanted, it ended up being the Star of David. And I'm like, what? And I asked him, so what's that about? And he said it's some, for some reason he thought it was like a gangster suit. Now, it gets better than that.
From out of the mouths of babes.
Now it gets even better than that. When he goes around, he says, "Yeah, he says, "Yeah," and he didn't even know what it was really about or nothing like that. And I've seen some of his tattoos, and I'm like, "Do you know what kind of tattoos you've got on your body?" And I'm like, and I'm thinking about this, you know, and it's like, this is really strange, you know.
And, oh, that's a great story.
Yeah, I'm like, do you know what you're even wearing? And I didn't say that, but I, you know, because I didn't want to offend him, but at the same time, I was like, okay.
Well, actually, the Star of David does represent organized crime. So
yes, it does. I kind of like said after you said that too. I was like, you know what? I find that strangely apropos. I really do, and I don't think he understood what I was talking.
No, he probably that very subtle point probably went right by him.
Well, I did tell him. I said, well, because I definitely have a problem with the State of Israel and what they're doing right now, and I didn't get into a lot of point of. You know, I didn't feel like being, you know, he's a customer.
Yeah, he's one of your customers. You don't want to get on the bad side of him. There's no use getting into a political fight there in the cab.
Right. But I did bring that up. I was like, yeah, because I definitely am against what they're doing.
Hey, Mark, while I have you on here, if I could ask, you know, I haven't talked to Van Lohman in a few days, actually about a week or two. Have you seen him or talked to him at all?
Yes, I have. And he seems much better this time around when he got out of the hospital this time.
Yeah,
he was like a little more. He sound, even his voice sounds different. I mean,
yeah. Well, that's good. I got an email from Van, and I keep meaning to give him a call, and I just discovered today I don't have any long distance on my telephone.
Yeah.
So
I gave him a call like about 2 nights ago, and he didn't call me back. But I'll probably end up after I get done with this call, I'll probably end up calling him.
All right. Well, listen.
He seemed like he was better off.
Tell Van I said hello, and tell him I'm going to be giving him a ring.
Okay.
All right. Mark, thanks for your call. That's a great call. All right. Okay. We have Steve in Chicago. Let's go to Chicago with Steve.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Steve. What's going on?
First of all, that is a gang sign. Take a look at the Gangster Disciples on Wikipedia. It is the six-pointed star. Secondly, I think Van Lohman instead of going to the University of Cincinnati, you ought to ask for immediate transfer to Cleveland Clinic. They do keyhole surgery for the heart. That's a lot easier than what he went through. But, you know, you were talking about that Swedish journalist that came across an article there. Swedish reporter meets hostile Israeli crowd. Now, this is this Thomas Bergstrom, and he was making a presentation. And, of course, he was charged with blood libel and citing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And they were denying everything. And the thing is that they had the Avigdor Lieberman. He was protesting. He was going to cut off relations with Sweden and all this other stuff. They were never guilty. And it says that the Israel's Vice Prime Minister, Sylvan Shalom, was boycotting the conference, and he was interrupted with shouts of like Hitler, and it goes on and on and on. And, of course, the Wiesenthal Center, they slammed that meeting as a travesty and all this other stuff. And here they're guilty of sin.
Well, you know, it's so funny because I've said this on the air a million times. I might as well say it again here. You know, if you ever do an internet search of the phrase Israel denied, you will find that Israel has been busy denying all sorts of horrible things, which everybody knows they're absolutely 100% guilty of. Whereas if you look up Indonesia denied or Ireland denied or Iceland denied, it's generally stories about those national soccer teams, like Ireland denied Germany a victory in the World Cup this past week, you know, or Indonesia denied Malaysia the right to put a fountain in on the border between the two countries where they have a border on the island of wherever Indonesia is. I forget the name of the island, but things like this. But what you find Israel denying is all sorts of horrible crimes against humanity that they've been charged with. And yet they're guilty of everything they've been charged with.
Yeah, they claim that it was just autopsy scars. And I don't know whether this had anything to do with it, but I do remember last year reading an article. It was in the Frankfurter Allgemeine, and there was a one lone doctor there. He was in the Palestinian region when they were under attack. He was under bombardment. He was in one of those hospitals that they kept hitting and hitting again, and he was mm-hmm. operating like crazy. But, you know, he was mentioning this stuff, and I can just wonder if he's, you know, originally saw this, and he spilled it, the story to the Aftonbladet, and that's how they picked it up. But I know they had somebody down there because he was interviewed, and it was just a slaughterhouse five or whatever you call it, butchery. Inhumanity to man.
Well, you know, speaking in this context, along with talking about this book I was mentioning here, The Invention of the Jewish People, I've been told, and I don't have the data handy on this, but I've been told this by someone who's looked into it. There is evidence to suggest that at the end of World War II, a lot of the Zionist leaders kidnapped a lot of orphaned German children and European children, blonde-haired, blue-eyed European children, and transported them to Palestine to raise them as part of the quote-unquote Jewish population in what became the State of Israel. And if this is indeed the case, that does constitute genocide, because if you forcibly transfer someone from their homeland to another location, that means the Israelis committed genocide at the end of World War II. The Jews committed genocide by kidnapping these blonde-haired, blue-eyed children to infuse their genes into the Jewish gene pool in the land of Palestine. Have you ever heard anything like that, Steve?
I've never seen that. I'd be interested as to find out. You know, I'll run it through the German search engine, Medegare, and see if anything comes up on that. But
it's the kind of thing they certainly wouldn't. They really wouldn't want to talk about, obviously. But there have been other stories which have actually reached the mainstream media. I recall the Israelis kidnapped, I believe they were Yemenite Jews, and conducted medical experimentation on them. They were their fellow Jews from Yemen. So, I mean, Israel does have this history of genetic, you know, everybody talks about Dr. Mengele doing this and everything and how the Nazis did it. But the Israelis have been playing around, Jewish scientists in Israel have been playing around with cloning and all sorts of grotesqueries for a long, long time. So you know, as I say, anything I hear about their ghoulish practices, I have to assume that if it's not 100% true, it's about 98% true.
All righty. Well, thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. Always good to hear from you. All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to have a caller from Massachusetts named Dave. I just wonder if it's the Dave from Massachusetts. He's been quiet lately. We'll find out when we come back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe me when I say it's cold here in Washington, D.C., take the word of the Hound of the Baskervilles. I just walked into my bedroom and found this large beast having crawled underneath the covers on the bed, which means I'm going to have to expel the beast and remake the bed. But anyway, I may get bitten or scratched or devoured in the attempt to do that, but we'll see what happens. Anyway, we have Dave from Massachusetts. Is this the Dave from Massachusetts?
That'd be me.
It is. Dave, how are you? We know we have another caller, Dave from Massachusetts, who calls in here occasionally. I was anxious to see who it was. What's going on, Dave? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Michael. Michael, you know what I was just thinking? You know, whenever we talk about these Zionists and these, like, Judeo-Christian Zionists, and very often, you know, we refer to Falwell and Robertson and Tim LaHaye and John Hagee, and, but you know, I'll tell you a group that people don't know much about, and there's a lot of misconceptions about, but, and you don't talk about them much. I don't know if you've ever really looked into them, but, what I'm talking about, Michael, I'll tell you who should be included in all that, you know, is the Mormon Church.
Well, you know, I've never been able to quite figure out exactly what the relationship between the Mormon Church and the organized Jewish community is. I do know that Mormon Church-connected banks had a lot to do with the funding of the Jewish crime syndicate enterprises in Las Vegas. I do know that for a fact. And I know that Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah, I read some quotes from this creature. He is this fervent supporter of Jewish interests, but I've never been able to quite figure out exactly where the Mormons stand vis-a-vis organized Jewry.
Well, I'll tell you, an awful lot of people, like, just have this fuzzy idea. Well, yeah, I don't know. They think that they're maybe God's chosen people, and they believe that Utah is Zion and stuff like that, you know. But no, Michael, it couldn't be more Zionist. I'd describe it as a Judeo-Zionist, Masonic church.
I'll tell you what, I do know that a guy who was a close associate of Joseph Smith was in fact a Jew, and I believe he was also a Mason. I don't have that information handy, but he apparently was very thick with Joseph Smith in the early days of the Mormon Church. But
yeah,
like I say, where the Mormon Church actually stands vis-a-vis the Jewish problem, I kind of have a feeling, this is my own gut feeling, and I'd be curious if any of our Mormon listeners, we don't have time tonight, but if any Mormon listeners want to call in and talk about this some other night, my gut feeling is that the Mormon leadership kind of go along to get along, and that they try to avoid direct confrontation with the Jews as much as possible. Because in the end, if the Jews want to run circles around the Mormon Church, no matter how powerful the Mormon Church is, they could bring down the Mormon Church in a heartbeat through their power. So it's an interesting point. Theologically, they might go along with they might have their own form of Zionism, but whether that underscores the Zionism of the organized Jews, I don't know, Dave. But it's an interesting question.
Yeah, you know, Mike. You know what they call non-Mormons?
Gentiles.
Gentiles. Trust me, they're big-time Zionists. They support the Antichrist Jews over in Israel and Jerusalem. They support them to the hilt. They're rabid Zionists.
Well, if that's the case, we're going to have to include them alongside Jerry Falwell and company.
Yeah.
Sorry to say,
yeah.
I have a lot of friends who are Mormons, and I've always liked Mormon people. But if their church is up to no good, well, we're going to have to say it right here in the air. All right, well, I hear that music telling us that we have to leave the air right now, folks, but we'll be here tomorrow night, God willing. Really like to hear some comments from you about Anne Frank. And let's hear...